Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Friday. It is, man, is it a hot one. My car thermostat said it is 96 outside right now as we come on the air. And, yeah, it's a hot one. It's going to be like this again tomorrow. So be ready for that if you're headed to the ball game tomorrow. If you're headed to a game tonight, got high school action this evening. So just – you know, don't expect it to cool off an awful lot tonight. Don't expect me to cool off for a little while.
Tell the story, Bill.
I got a drive of the day today. All right. I know there are a lot of people that aren't familiar with driving in Auburn that are here. I have two vehicles in particular today. All right. I usually will stop by and grab a large drink before I come on the show.
Unsolicited plug, and I know we're
going to – Okay, look. I love getting a slush from Sonic.
Yeah, we love Sonic
here. With their, happy hour prices.
Yeah, shout out to Sonic, and we'll stop on the way to the station.
It's not very far.
It's close,
It is not very far.
The one by Kroger
here,
is
the
very
one
close,
on Dean Road. And I picked up my slush at 3:50. Dan called me at about 3:55. And I was,
I wanted to know how you were feeling after, you had a slight procedure today.
I just had stitches out. I've got Steri-Strips, which are about to call me. They're not going to last much longer.
Okay. We got a pretty stocked first aid kit up by the sink.
I was hoping Zach could get in the pool today because Kennedy came over today, but she hadn't mentioned anything about the pool today. She's been having fun inside. Anyway, but the car, I'm sure unbeknownst to them.
Bill's in a panic when I call him. I can't get out because
There's only one. It's the Allman Brothers. I mean, we'll go to Wings 94.3, and they ain't but one way out, babe. And I can't get out the drive. It's like because it was a white Jeep, looked like it was brand new. White Jeep with Texas tag that just sat there with the left turn signal on and on and on. And I mean, it's very tough. It's very tough a lot of the time. Now, I mean, on the eve of the first game, you're not going to be able to cross two lanes and be able to turn left.
Is there a no left turn sign out of Sonic?
No, there's not.
You know what? Then
there should be.
I'm going to put this one on, as much as we love them. I think that one's a design flaw. Like that needs to be
to
be an exit that you can only get out of to the right, or a sign needs to be posted saying no left turn because that can block traffic. You're right until the next time change.
I don't know
if
they heard me yelling out the window. I was about to get out of the car and go.
You don't even need to open the window, though. I feel like they could probably have heard. They might have been able to hear you.
They can see me gesturing from behind them. I can tell you that, like, turn right, go around the block.
It's like something out of a Mr. Bean sketch, right? Where like the other you're one of the other drivers reacting, and then whoever was in the white Jeep is Mr. Bean, sort of oblivious.
I don't know, but they finally just short of 3:56, they turned right, and then they turned right, so they were going to go around the block, which is fine. And then as I get near the railroad track,
oh no,
here come two SUVs flying up on the left side, and I know what they're going to do. They both signal they want to turn right. And now I don't know what it is with Texas. Maybe it's the experience we had when we went to A&M trying to drive out there last year that I'm just going to have nightmares of Texas tags. But this time, the black F-150 in front of me stopped and let both those cars in, so I missed another light. But I made it on time. So just be aware if you're headed north on Dean Road before you get to the railroad tracks, you're not supposed to. The left lane is only supposed to be left turn only.
You know, I'm a proponent of trying to get out.
I understand.
I try to use Ross, or right. I try to use Gay Street or something to get to Opelika Road, because you're right, that Dean intersection is especially.
I usually do, but I wanted to make sure I got my slush today.
Now that there's more activity, on our side of town.
Well, there's activity everywhere.
Yeah,
today.
but especially like around that intersection, it's tougher to unless it's the only way you can use it. I try to, especially with the students.
Yeah,
back.
But if you can anywhere that you have to go, try not to turn. I mean, making left turns is going to be extremely difficult. Now it's going to be really interesting tomorrow. I tried to look at the traffic flow maps for the game tomorrow. And we'll just see where I wind up after the game. I mean, that's fine. I know eventually we'll be home. So, because sometimes we start in the direction toward our house and are told you can't go that way. So we'll just see. But they are available if you go to AuburnTigers.com. They have the game day information. You can find parking information. You can find the traffic map on there as well. Looking for a huge crowd tomorrow night? Man, fortunately, it's at least a 6:30 game, although the last forecast I've seen still said it's going to be 90 degrees or a little higher at kickoff tomorrow at 4:30. But that just means we're very fortunate it's not an earlier kick. That's just that would have been really brutal. So, yes, after the traffic report and a little weather, this is The Drive here on this Friday. Bill, you've heard Dan. Coach Don Dunn is with us as well. Don, how are you doing?
Great, thank you.
I can't wait to just get some thoughts as we head through the show on some openers in the past. I mean, it is the full opening weekend. Been some pretty interesting ball games already, including last night.
Yeah.
A couple of compelling games last night. Yep. Colorado, North Dakota State coming down to the wire.
Right.
North Carolina, Minnesota coming down to a field goal
goal. Max Johnson having to leave fairly early.
A field goal attempt.
Yeah.
At the end of that game, and a tough way to start the year for PJ Fleck.
Yeah.
And the Gophers to drop a winnable
a
one
home game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Drop a winnable home game against a marquee opponent on a missed field goal at the end, but that's college football, right? Yeah. I mean, how do you respond to that? How do you shake that off and move on with your season? And no shortage of compelling games tomorrow.
A lot of them involving the SEC. Most of them.
Most of the best games of the weekend. Most of the best games of the weekend. SEC games this weekend. But yeah, it was an excellent hors d'oeuvre last night in college football. Although I really thought. I thought Colorado might let that one slip away at the very end.
I think if there had been a few more minutes,
they would have had no one to blame but themselves because they had the game well in hand.
Yeah.
I still have doubts about – I was talking with Scott Bagwell about this earlier today, Bill. Seems like when – Shedeur Sanders is very talented.
Travis Hunter is uber talented.
Yeah, those two guys are two of the 5 or 10 best players in college football.
Yeah, so I agree.
I'd say non-quarterbacks, short list of guys better than Travis Hunter if there's anyone – on that list, and then Shadur's one of the 5 quarterbacks you would probably want. Acknowledging that, when you have a situation where a coach is both trying to win games and showcasing his son as an NFL prospect, I wonder, do those goals ever come into conflict with one another where you have to do some things as an offense that maybe take the ball out? I mean, I they didn't run the ball enough last year. There were rumors that the offensive coordinator switch had to do with the coordinator calling too many run plays and Deion wanting the ball in Shadur's hands more. They throw in some puzzling situations late last night. I still wonder if they're going to be able to run the ball enough to beat good teams, although they were in a lot of their games. Mm-hmm. They were destroyed a couple of times, but they were in a lot of their games.
Next week, this coming Saturday, is going to be really interesting.
Nebraska?
I think Nebraska is going to be better.
Yeah, going to Lincoln for that one, I think, should be a really interesting game for both of those teams. And I think there's no question about the ability of – now, I think the question with Travis Hunter is, what is he at the NFL level? I think that I used to say shutdown corner, and now
he's a shutdown corner, but what a receiver he is.
Now I kind of think that maybe his future should be at wide receiver. I don't exactly know, you know, what the experts say as far as where he projects as a more impactful NFL player, but he seems good enough to start at either position.
Oh, you're not kidding. Anywhere.
Yeah. Anywhere, yes. In
for anybody.
I still wonder if it's good we have Don here. I still wonder if Colorado has it in the trenches. Still wonder if the front seven is going to be big enough. Seem like North Dakota State was getting positive yardage way too often for an FCS team on the road against a major conference team.
Mm-hmm.
And North Dakota State's no doormat, right? There were some struggling FCS programs in action last night. Arkansas played one of them. And beat them 70 to nothing.
It looked like it was going to be 100 and something.
It was like one of those high school mismatches.
Yeah.
That you see, like that's what was happening in Fayetteville last night. But without doubting Colorado's ability at quarterback and Travis Hunter, I still have doubts about whether or not that team has the spine, you know what I mean? Like whether or not that team has whether or not they've got the nuts and bolts, the trenches, you know, whether they've got enough there to contend with the best teams on the, even in a wide open Big 12,
right?
Whether or not they've got enough to contend with the best teams. If they do, it'll be a heck of a story.
Yeah.
You know, year two, Colorado, you know, contending for a league title when they were one of the worst Power 5 teams upon Deion's arrival. I want to see it against better competition first.
Yeah, for sure.
So we can look back, but obviously we're going to look ahead toward this weekend, including Auburn, Alabama, A&M. We'd love for you to join in. We got Barrett, I believe. We should have Barrett Salee joining us here in just a few minutes. We'll find out why he didn't check in with us from Dublin.
Always very exciting. I think we know why he didn't check in with us from Dublin.
We'll have some fun with Barrett. He'll be joining us in a few minutes.
Heck of a game he got to see.
Yeah, you're not kidding. And then you'll be able to join us. So we can go ahead and give you those numbers. You'll be able to join us on the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center.
Don't forget, as I mentioned earlier, high school football tonight, and right here on the family of stations here with the Auburn Network. You've got Auburn High Football, Auburn. Who is it they've got?
Vestavia Hills.
Vestavia. Tonight. I knew it was one of the Birmingham schools. Yeah. Auburn Vestavia.
I believe Opelika next week?
Yeah, at the Duck. That is right. Over at the Duck, airtime 6:30. And also at 6:30, it is the pregame over on AU 100 for Lee Scott looking to go 2-0 in the public school realm as they travel to Lochapoca.
Lee Scott and Lochapoca should be a fascinating styles clash of teams I know we've got listeners in Lochapoca, Bill.
Oh yes. Right?
I mean, shout out to everybody out there. They were tipping us off about JC Hart before he was on the radar as a D1 prospect. You know, we had callers saying there's a kid in Lochapoca that should play in the SEC and has always dreamed of being an Auburn Tiger. And sure enough, that guy might be.
I think he will play a good bit tomorrow.
I think he's your first corner off the bench.
I agree.
Behind Kayan and Keontae tomorrow. And so, yeah, shout out to Lochapoca. Should be really interesting tonight. AU 100, where you can hear Lee Scott versus Lochapoca live on location.
All right, we will get to our first break of the afternoon.
Christian doing a great job with the Lee Scott games, by the way.
We will check in with Barrett Salee when we come back here on the Friday Drive.
Yellowwood knows that a five-star backyard.
PNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn, we'd love for you to join in. I've asked this question and would love folks to tell us what What do you want to see tomorrow? What are you hoping to see tomorrow? All right, so let's go to the pro first. I mean, Don, in your first when you're about to go out there in the season opener against a team you know you have outmanned, mm-hmm. What are you looking to see from your guys?
Number one thing's always effort. I want to make sure they play hard, they give it all they got. Attention to detail. Like to see a clean game. No stupid mistakes, like 12 men on the field. Communication is so important. Look for all those things, to be organized, to be in the game, paying attention if you're not in the game, and just to have a clean game. And like you said, try not to play down to your opponent. Just play your game, and you know, hopefully things will turn out the way you want it to.
What's the for you know back especially towards the last few seasons that you were doing it,
mm-hmm.
what would a Friday home game be like? You know, you're playing a the Friday before a home game.
Yeah.
You're playing a non-conference opponent, night game, you're going to gather the team, do the activities. What's the
you know, we always went to a hotel about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We would go to LaGrange, which took about 45 minutes. We get there, the kids would go to their rooms. The one thing we always did, everybody had the same room every year.
Oh, that's cool. I have never thought about
that. And every
that.
Week.
Okay.
So they got kind of used to
so
that.
So it's like your second home.
Yeah. And you want to make it as comfortable as you can. Then we would give them about 30 minutes to unwind. Then they would come down for the meal. Then we would have meetings. And then we would have a special teams meeting. And I'd maybe meet with my guys for 5 minutes, just, you know, quick checklist. Then they had a snack they could get, and then we all – each coach did their own bed check, except when we were out on the road recruiting, you know, someone else would do that.
Right.
A lot of times we would not even be there on Friday nights.
Sure.
When we were on the road recruiting. But then the next morning, it's a night game. They'll let them sleep in a little bit, not real late. You don't want to – you know, you want to get them up, get them moving around. They'll have like a brunch. Then they'll have some downtime. Then you'll have meetings and then a pregame meal, and you'll load the buses and come back. I think they stay in town now, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not really sure.
I think we're at the Opelika at the golf play. What's
oh,
it?
Oh,
anyway.
Grand National?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
I believe. Yeah. I know that was the case recently. I don't know where the team is staying.
I'm not positive
this year,
either,
yeah.
But makes it a little easier. You don't have to, you know. We had like 45-minute drive, like I said.
Opponents often stay in Montgomery.
Montgomery
and Columbus, yeah. There's a couple, you know, preferred.
And I think when Coach Malzahn was here, Auburn stayed in Montgomery, I think.
I believe
the night
so.
Before game. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you know, it's just you want to get in a good routine. You don't want any distractions. Main thing, make sure all your guys are on time. I always tell them to set their clocks up 10 minutes early. As a coach, position coach, you don't want anything to distract the team. The worst thing is one of your guys in there, you know, the head coach is looking at you, you know, what the heck's going on.
Do you have eyes, I mean, in all seriousness, did you have eyes on the bars downtown the night before games?
Well,
to see if
not
any,
in LaGrange.
Oh, well, I would wonder if you had eyes on anybody, and you know, if you had
didn't
eyes
travel
in Auburn. Yeah, well, either didn't travel or guys who snuck away. But I guess you're far enough that you're not too worried about guys sneaking away and going back
LaGrange.
To Auburn.
There was nothing where we stayed in LaGrange except I think there was a Waffle House.
I would think the concern would be a guy sneaking back to Auburn and then going back.
Had some situations, not at Auburn, but at other places I've been. You know, maybe a girlfriend will show up in the lobby, and we try to discourage that. But, you know, sometimes the families will meet the kids in the lobby. We didn't want people to go up to their rooms, even their parents. So they'd meet in the lobby area, and then it was time to go up for bed check. They would go up or get their snack or whatever.
I heard more about, I guess, fall and spring camp would be times when coaches were curious about players' nightlife activities and whether or not
I'm sure there was a few.
There's a couple stories I've heard about.
You always
that.
Got one or two.
334-321-1390. We've efforted Barrett Salee a couple of times. We'll We'll check him again at the bottom of the hour.
Might still be in Ireland.
Well, I don't know. I saw he's posted a couple of things. He mentioned that Max Johnson has undergone successful surgery for a broken right leg and will miss the remainder of the season. Man, that's tough for Max. Guy who mentioned the traveling in Texas last year, that's the guy that came in and beat Auburn last year for A&M. I had a great game against Auburn last year, and I'm really ashamed for him. I've always liked him as a quarterback when he was at LSU and at A&M, and now his career is done before he finishes a game at North Carolina.
Son of Super Bowl champion Brad Johnson, and a guy who, like you said, played well against Auburn last season, and it would be, not just for Max, I'm sure it's devastating, but for a team to spend, you've spent the whole offseason sort of imagining what the offense can do with this quarterback, this veteran guy at the helm, and he breaks his leg opening day, and it's the end of his season.
Let's get to the drive hotline in the meantime. 334-321-1390, and Russell is up first. Hey, Russell.
Hey, guys. War Eagle.
Hey, man. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Couple things I'd like to see is, defense – my biggest question mark, a lot of people have been saying defensive line, but mine's secondary. But at the same time, I want to see the defensive line help the secondary out and dominate. And not just pass rush, because everything I've been seeing is pass rush is probably going to be better than it was last year, especially with who we brought in and then the freshmen that we have. But I want to see some of these guys up front, like Rakes and Bleedy and a couple of the guys we brought in, like get after the passer, or even in the run game, and just dominate up front. And that'll make me feel a lot better about the secondary, because if you can dominate up front, then that helps that secondary out that's got a little bit of an inexperience.
No question about that. I mean, the one thing is, here's something that I feel like if Auburn doesn't dominate up front tomorrow, then you're a little concerned as you head into better competition. So they really need to tomorrow, and that's something that I think should be expected from them.
Yeah, no
doubt. And then the other thing on offense is, and I know everybody's excited about wide receivers, and I'm one of them, but I want to see us use the tight end. And I don't think we're talking about Rivaldo Fairweather and Luke Deal and Brandon Frazier enough. I mean, I think my goodness, I play NCAA college football 25, and I do all these things and watch football a lot. Tight end is one of those positions where if you've got a good tight end, use him, because he is a mismatch. And
now people were saying that before the video game came out too. Like, people were saying before NCAA 25 that no, but you're right. I mean, Auburn appears to have between. I mean, we were asked earlier this week if there was a first round pick in the 25 draft on this Auburn team, who is it? And it's an interesting question, right? Because we had a call. I forget who the caller had in mind, but it was but the guy. I immediately went to Rivaldo as someone who could maybe grow into that kind of weapon, and he would have to have the biggest season of his career. But he's somebody physically capable of doing exactly that. And yeah, I think he was maybe Auburn's most potent weapon through the passing game last year, and now teams have to worry about a lot of other things too.
Now the only thing about
that's my point. My point is, use him. If you got him, use him. And there's no way that linebackers or nickels can cover that guy. So just use what you got, and don't just try to force the ball to Cam Coleman just because everybody's excited about Cam Coleman. Now, that's not saying don't throw it to him, but I'm just saying don't, force it to him, If the tight end is open or has a mismatch, then Peyton Thorne, I want to see him use that weapon and go through his progressions and go to the best player in that certain play that's available.
It around. You want to see him play some point guard.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, totally. But don't get I'm thinking 49-6. I'm not being 70-0 like Arkansas did last night. That's crazy. I understand. Arkansas Pine Bluff is what it is, but I didn't watch any of that game. I watched the Colorado game last night, and then thankfully flipped over to the North Carolina game right when Max got hurt,
yeah,
which is unfortunate for them. But that was a great game. And honestly, guys, I've watched probably five football games, and they've all been great games. The three I watched last Saturday was Georgia Tech, Florida State, great game.
We've gotten really lucky with the product, I think, so far
it's been great. And I think I've always been like let's not speed up the game, but I think that the clock situation, not stopping, going out of bounds, giving us the 2-minute warning, like the extra timeout, I think those things have actually brought these games closer, if you will. Like the time just goes so much faster than it used to go because of media timeouts and stopping the clock when you go out of bounds. Now it's like in the fourth quarter when you got 5 minutes left, you got to hurry up. It's almost the 2-minute warning or the 2-minute drill has become the 5-minute drill. Because if you get the ball with 5 minutes to go, you got to go. Mm-hmm. Like if you're a couple scores down, there is like. The game.
Yeah, you're probably not going to get two possessions.
Oh, no, exactly. You're a mistake
Montana
away from
State.
Losing.
Yeah, Montana State, when they were down like 31-14, and then it was 31-21, like, and they broke that 96-yard run with the running back. Like, they had to have that, or they're not going to win that game because of the time. So I think that the time thing has made it really interesting in that college football has changed a little bit from what it used to be, where you could run out of bounds in the fourth quarter and stop the clock, and now that's not the case unless it's under 2 minutes. So, you know, just the whole strategy behind it has changed, and I think it's brought these scores, if you're kind of close at the end of the game, these scores have gotten a little bit closer than what they normally would be because of the time. So I've enjoyed all the games I've watched and hopefully enjoy the games tomorrow. I think Georgia's going to just destroy Clemson, although I'm probably not giving Clemson enough credit, but I don't see that happening in that stadium in Atlanta. And Georgia just coming off what missing the playoff, right, they're going to be mad, and they're going to probably take it out on Clemson. So,
I
am expecting a good game out of Miami, Florida. Now, I'm picking Florida just because I think Cam Ward is overrated personally. This is the biggest game of his career, and it ain't even close. So him on the road, I think he's probably just a shade underground merch, and I'll take the better quarterback at home all day. And then Texas A&M, I think Notre Dame's overrated. I think Texas A&M's going to come away with that, and they're going to end up being a top 15 team next week at the beginning of the week. But
if they beat Notre Dame,
I don't know, guys.
Whether they deserve it or not, they will be. Just
one last thing before I leave. The Braves, they're going to make the playoffs,
yep,
and I can't wait to be disappointed in them not doing anything
well,
in the playoffs.
I don't know how you'd be as disappointed, though, with all the guys they've had out.
Well, I know, always disappoint me in the playoffs, Bill. But here it is, okay? They have hit so many solo home runs, and I was texting Lindsey Crosby last night, and I was like, man, I know you've reported on this, but how many solo home runs have the Braves given up versus what they've hit? And they have literally given up like the least amount of solo home runs versus what they have hit the most amount of. Like, it's unbelievable how every time they give up a home run, it's a two or a three or grand slam. And when we hit a home run, it's a solo shot. Like, it is just so mind blowing how they can hit home runs, but there's nobody on base. And when they give one up, they've got a bases loaded full of people. It's just crazy to me. But appreciate you guys taking the call. Y'all have a good one, War Eagle. Right,
good hearing from you, Russell. I mean, he had some really good points in there. I mean, I'm trying to remember. There were a couple of things I wanted to go back to that he was talking about. I mean, the clock is going to be a little different. I mean, I know Arkansas scored 70, and you're going to see some scores like that. I think it's going to be tougher for teams to score as many points as we've seen because
–
of the clock running
right
throughout when the ball goes out of bounds.
Yeah, no doubt. It's going to really affect
it. I mean, I heard some talk the other day about, the number of possessions is going down.
Right.
And the number of possessions goes down, the number of points is going to go down. You're going to
exactly
have to have a higher percentage of scoring per drive to be able to try to keep that up. So that will be very interesting. All right, back to one of his very first things was – getting the ball to the tight end. Here in this game tomorrow, you may not have an opportunity to do all the things that you want. And Peyton was talking about this the other day, in that a lot of people don't know exactly what he's supposed to be doing on each play. Like, he can hear from people, good job, when he doesn't feel like he did a good job, or he's not going to grade very high, mm-hmm. because it turned out that the plays turned out well.
Right.
I mean, he could have actually gone to the wrong guy, and then it was a busted play, and it goes for a touchdown. It's like, great job, Peyton, mm-hmm. when actually he made the wrong read or something like right. that. And he said, and vice versa, sometimes people, you know, criticize him when he made the right read and somebody else didn't do something right. But in a game like this tomorrow, if he's making the right read, it may not get the ball to the guy that you want it to go to all the time. You may not be able to get the ball to Rivaldo as much, right. or to Cam or to whoever. I mean, what if the Auburn offensive line's playing well, you may not need to throw the ball very much, but you want to. I mean, I think then you would call some deep shots, mm-hmm. and things like that, but you may not really get to that second or third option if your first one is working.
Exactly. Yeah, interesting. You know, everybody wants the home run ball, the bomb, the long touchdown. I sure. think people are excited about that with our receivers this year. Well, but you're exactly right, Bill. You got to take what they give you and not worry about too many things in the first game. Just go out there, dominate offense, defense, in the trenches, stop the run, run the ball. I think we can run the ball tomorrow, too.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be disappointed if we didn't.
I would be. I absolutely yeah. would be.
And that is going to open up the pass.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you know, people are funny. They just –
Well, you want everything.
Fans. I mean, that's the thing.
It's like,
to happen.
Like a kid at Christmas here. You want everything you've seen.
Yeah.
Want it all.
You want it now. The new guys scoring 70-yard bombs.
Yeah. I want every receiver to catch 10 passes for 100 yards, and every running back to run for 100 yards, and three quarterbacks to throw for 250 yards.
Exactly.
It's just yeah. All right.
That's right.
Well, you hope you get enough of what you want. All right. We will get to our bottom of the hour break. We'd love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. We've got tons of audio we can get to as well, but we'd love to hear from you here on the Friday Drive.
AU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Don, Dan had to step out for a minute. He'll be right back. We'd love for you to join in. Give us your thoughts. What are you expecting to see tomorrow? What are you hoping to see tomorrow? What would you like to see tomorrow in the Auburn-Alabama A&M game? Or your thoughts on any of the ball games going on this weekend? As we said, it's very hard to find. I mean, I guess Penn State, West Virginia.
Yeah, another good one.
But, I mean, there aren't many ball games, many of the big ball games this weekend that don't involve an SEC school.
Right.
I mean, you've got the Georgia-Clemson game early tomorrow.
Real early.
And yeah, I'm sort of with Russell on that, although I think I finally decided I had to, in Doug Amos's contest, you have to go by the points. Mm. I mean, Georgia's going to win the game. I don't think there's much question about that. But I think Clemson's also a team that feels like they've got a chip on their shoulder as well after last year.
It's been kind of an interesting summer. You don't hear a lot about Clemson. Every once in a while you hear something that Dabo would say.
Right.
You know, he's totally against the portal, the transfer. I think he's trying to prove that you can still win without doing that. Which I don't think you can.
You can win. I don't know if you can win it all.
Exactly. I think he's going to eventually have to give in. Sort of like Coach Saban. Remember, he used to hate the hurry-up offense.
Yeah, but he immediately, once he saw that it wasn't going to change, he decided, hey, we're going to be doing it with better athletes than you're doing it with.
And then they took off again. So, yeah. But that's a heck of a game. There's a couple decent games tonight, Bill. You know, you got a late game, Stanford and TCU. It doesn't come on till like 9 o'clock. I'll be long asleep by then. And then you got Temple and Oklahoma. You know, who knows?
They're
ESPN at six. So
that should be an opportunity. I would think Oklahoma's going to trample them.
Yeah, I would think so at Oklahoma. But then tomorrow, man, they crank it up at 11 o'clock, like you said. Clemson and Georgia.
I mean, look at the ABC matchups tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You've got the Clemson-Georgia game.
Yep.
And then you come back with the Miami-Florida game as the 2:30 game.
Whew.
And then the evening game is the I'm trying to remember what the night one is.
ABC night.
Yeah, maybe it's ESPN, but I was thinking there's Notre Dame A&M.
Yeah.
Notre Dame and Texas A&M is so you go 11, 2:30, and 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
With those are all very interesting games coming up tomorrow.
Yep.
334-321-1390. Who do we have? Spectre is up next. Hey, Spectre, long time.
Yeah, buddy. How you been doing, Bill?
Pretty good.
Is that Don, man?
That's me, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good.
Listen, it's been a long, hot summer, but, you know.
Indeed.
Let me tell you what I'll be looking for. Well, I ain't going to be looking for much because we ain't going to have much of a test against our players. But some of the things I'm looking for is what the mistakes that we made last year. I want our receivers to be able to catch the ball that's thrown to their hands or their chest. And that's number one. And number two is our offensive line. I want them to gel together a lot more than they did last year. And I want my man Wade not to be jumping the ball as much. And I hope he's improved on that.
I would hope that, and I don't know if it's, I don't think it's going to be the case tomorrow, but I hope that pretty soon he will know whether he's a guard or a tackle.
Yeah.
You know, they moved him into guard, and then they've talked about moving him back to tackle because they weren't happy with the tackle position there. You hope that really soon, before you get into SEC play, you know exactly where he's playing and who the guy beside him is, whether it be a tackle or a guard.
I think we'll find that out after the second game.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, not much to say about defense. Auburn's defense has always been good. And the only problem I had last year was that Alabama game call.
Well, I think you're going to see a different style of defense this year. I mean, Ron Roberts was much more of a bend but don't break kind of coordinator. DJ Durkin is we're going to try to break you kind of defense. He's very aggressive.
A lot more aggressive, yes.
Yeah, that's what I like to see.
Yes.
But last but not least is, I didn't mention the running backs. Running backs are always a good stable of players. Last but not least is Peyton Thorne. Mm-hmm. What I want to see in him is him looking down his first choice and not looking anywhere else. I want him to improve on that, and he's got to do it in this game.
Yeah, he needs to be decisive. And confident and accurate is what he needs to be. I mean, if he can be making the right reads and do it decisively, I mean, thus far, everything leading up to now sounds great. I mean, there's no doubt he is one of the guys on this team that his teammates look up to. He has been a very good leader. Now he has that opportunity with his second year in the program to make that step, and he needs to.
Yeah, yes. Peyton is a senior. He needs to act like he's been a senior. I mean, he came over from Michigan State as a junior, as a sophomore, right?
Well, actually, he had played. He was a junior last year. He was a fourth-year junior. He redshirted 1 year at Michigan State, started two years for them.
That's right. All right. Well, he's pretty well experienced as far as his mechanics go, but his mindset, he's got to get that mindset right.
Well,
anyway,
I think
that's what I'm looking for, and I expected to see more of a challenge in the second game.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I don't really know what to expect from Alabama A&M. I mean, they beat that Pine Bluff team that Arkansas beat by 70, but they've got a ton of new players.
Yeah.
So they may have a playmaker or two that we don't know that might step up and have a big game. But Auburn should be able to handle them with relative ease.
Well, it's good to hear you again, Bill.
It's good hearing you, Spectre.
Where's my man Dan?
Dan is rounding the corner, stepping back in. He had to step out for just a second.
He's going to be upset.
Put headphones back on, Spectre.
Okay, go ahead and turn his mic on. There we go.
Hey, Spectre.
Hey, buddy.
Good to hear from you, man.
You too. Have you been following NASCAR?
No. I gotta be honest with you. I had a lot going on this summer. Got basketball season around the corner, so I have not been. I have not been able to. Sometime next week, give us a breakdown on what's been going on the NASCAR playoff run. Okay.
I will tell you this though: your man made the playoffs.
Okay. Ooh. Gotta watch out for. You talking about my man Keys?
Yeah. Sunday is the last game of the regular.
The regular season ends on Sunday, right?
Yeah, that's right. But I'll keep you informed on that.
I tell you what, Spectre. Hey, for old time's sake, what did you give us a score?
Say again.
You give us a score for tomorrow?
Oh, I could care less if they beat the spread or not. I'm gonna say it's somewhere like in 45-10.
All right.
Appreciate it, Spectre. Yes,
man, it's great hearing from you, Spectre.
Feels like a lot of folks have it in that 35-49 range, based on how the kind of mood Auburn's coaches are in. And yeah, that's right. Important. Yeah. One of the most important ones.
All right, take care, Spectre.
You too.
All right, we'll get to our final break of hour number. That was funny. Final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
Venturi, Lee County District.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final few minutes of hour number one. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn, Drew at the controls here on this Friday, and let's get back to the drive hotline. Sponsored by Skybar, and Jeremy is up next. Hey, Jeremy.
Yeah, hey, guys. Long time.
I can tell football season's about here.
Great to hear from you, too, Jeremy.
Well, hey, look, it's the first day in about 3 months I haven't had a toddler in the truck with me.
oh, man. Well, that's
congratulations.
That's a blast.
Is that? Yeah.
I know, right? no, y'all are talking about what do you want to see? Chris. You want everything to be Chris.
Yep.
You want. The communication, you're dealing with new the headsets and all that stuff. There's some things you don't want to have to be fixing going into your second game.
And, you know, that communication is probably one of the things that I wonder the most about, to see if that sort of slows things or gets things a little bit out of kilter.
You want to have all, like Coach Dunn was talking about, the substitutions, communication, all of that stuff, because going into week two, the only thing you want to be working on is football.
Exactly.
You don't want to have to fix the non-football stuff. And, you know, yeah, throwing and catching, you know, some of the simple things, but you just want to look like you've been practicing, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, you don't want offsides. You don't want 12 men on the field. Those things will kill your momentum. But you're exactly right. Communication, I think, is the most important thing, and effort.
Absolutely. The Braves broke my heart last night, guys. That hurt.
Yeah, no kidding.
Not to change the subject, but I haven't had a chance to talk to you about it. Like, you went into this weekend thinking, you know, there was the chance you might get within three games.
Mm-hmm.
By Sunday, and that now you just hope to still be, you know, in the wild card contention. Just to be honest,
well, there's a good team's going to get left out. Maybe two good teams, depending on how the Cubs finish the regular season. Because I mean, the Mets are three back of the Braves right now for the last wild card spot. The Mets are 70-64 and would not make the playoffs if the regular season ended today. They are the Cubs and the Mets are the only teams over 500 in the National League that would miss the playoffs if the season ended today. Cardinals are exactly 500. Giants are a game back of 500. But you're right. I mean, the Braves don't have a huge padding keeping them in the playoff picture right now, because the Mets are right behind them, and the Cubs have played well the last couple weeks.
Well, like I said, you're up 4-0 in the sixth last night, and you're already thinking, if you get that one, and then if you can find a way to take two out of the other three games, like you're down to taking two out of three. Like I said, you're within three games of Philly at that point, and you're really starting to not be too terribly worried about the wild card. But now, you know, you lose two out of the three for the rest of the weekend now. And, you know, you're down eight games behind Philly, and you've got the Cubs coming hard, guys.
Yeah, you're right. I don't expect them not to make the playoffs. It's just
I don't know. Like you go from, like I said, being within six games, and you know, you go into a series like this, and you come out down eight games at the end of it. That's kind of a balloon pop.
The other two teams in the wild card right now from the National League West have been two of the three best teams in baseball since the All-Star break, in the Diamondbacks and the Padres, which complicates things, because then it does start to feel like the Braves, the Mets, and the Cubs are fighting for one spot in the postseason. Yep. And if the Mets or the I would expect. The current standings to hold, and those to be the six teams to make the playoffs in the National League, but the Mets or the Cubs could make things really interesting with a strong close to the year. If they really played well to finish the season, they could push and maybe shake that up a little bit. Great hearing from you, Russell. Great stuff.
Jeremy.
Oh, was that Jeremy?
Yeah.
Oh, great hearing from you, Jeremy.
Yeah, we...
Good, guys.
Good hearing from some folks that we haven't heard from. Hey, there hasn't been that much really going on, and hopefully we've been passing along information with all the opportunities we've had. But it's great hearing from, you know, some of the folks that
we know
are passionate about their football, and we hope that we can hear from some more coming up in hour number two of the Friday Drive.
From Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two here on the Friday Drive. Hope everybody doing well. A hot one. It's going to be a hot one tonight for high school football, tomorrow for college football, and tomorrow night for Auburn and Alabama A&M. So, you know, dress accordingly.
Hydrate
with
sunscreen.
With non-alcoholic beverages, please. hydrating with alcoholic beverages doesn't doesn't work well in the sweltering.
Well, mix in some nons too.
Teetotal.
Yeah, mix in some nons. You know, every once in a while, and get some fluids in you. Sunscreen.
Yes, sunscreen.
That's one.
Sunglasses.
I think
it's
sunglasses and sunscreen. Yeah,
protect
yourself from the sun as best you can.
Yeah.
That's good advice for tonight if you're going to be outdoors. Excellent advice tomorrow for the tailgates.
It could be
a very hot,
right,
very clear day.
It's going to be very
and it's,
hot.
And it's going to be, and the sun will not be down when the game kicks off.
No. It'll be closer to halftime before the sun is down.
About 7:25 or something like that.
So we've been talking about the game tomorrow, asking you, our listeners, what you think you'll see, what you hope you'll see, what you expect to see tomorrow, and your thoughts on any of the ball games going on tomorrow.
Still lows in the high 60s next week. So we got some.
That's
good. We got some.
I want to see highs in the 80s.
Next Friday, the high is exactly 80.
Wow.
70 to 80 next Friday
we're being really nice to Cal.
High next, actually,
next Saturday?
The high next Saturday, according to Apple right now, is 83. So that's a middle of the day. 80.
Too nice to
it'll,
Cal.
It could be, and a little, and maybe some, and the threat of storms early in the day, so you could have some overcast weather blow through. And
Don,
then,
did you get any rain yesterday?
No.
I got not a drop. It rained pretty hard here
as I headed home. Donna was looking out the window. She's dying. She has to have rain.
We had to water this morning.
Yeah, I mean, we did too. And then we had a leak. It's always something.
Oh, man.
Always something.
That's not good. You don't want to be watering. But luckily, you don't want to be watering when you don't intend
Right. Luckily, it was on the city side, so they did come out immediately.
Good. Yeah, they will.
Fixed it, but then they said, "Well, we think there's still a little drip from your irrigation, so we're not worried about it right now."
Well,
you just turn it off.
Yeah, I mean, we had established plants in the ground. Our azaleas are starting to wilt.
Yep, Donna's is so, too, boy. She watches them like a hawk. Woo.
Yeah, so, anyway, be aware of that and be prepared for that coming up tomorrow. Hour number two of the drive.
We'll see if Alabama A&M wilts tomorrow night, you know, like the
azaleas. You would sure think that Auburn's depth should play a big factor. Now, when we're talking about being crisp and not making mistakes, and if they happen when you've got – you know, third and fourth stringers in, then you can live with that. That could be teaching moments for those players.
Right. Yeah. You know, your first and second guys, you want them to be as sharp as can be. Then if it gets, you know, a point where we can play a lot of guys, which I hope we can, which is great for everybody, you know, mistakes are going to happen. I mean, those kids are going to be nervous wrecks. Some of them may have never been in the game in their life.
Yeah, you just hope they get the opportunity to get out there and play.
Right.
What you don't want to see, because I think too often lately, Auburn has had less than stellar performances, not necessarily in games against FCS opponents, because Auburn has demolished some FCS opponents lately, but they'll have games where Auburn appears to overmatch the opponent at the Group of Five level, and what you haven't seen is a commanding performance by Auburn. Yeah, I mean, I remember thinking about, we talked about this on the Observer podcast yesterday, but the week before Penn State came to town in 22, Auburn had San Jose State, and San Jose State was up at the half. Auburn had to come back in the second half and win that game. And it was thinking, well, maybe they were being vanilla. Maybe it's, you know, they're still working out the kinks and everything. You're still in wait and see mode. And then a week later, you saw against Penn State, and there was no more waiting.
No, after that, it was the wait was over.
You're waiting for something else.
Yeah, you're right. You're waiting for a change.
You're waiting for something else. You're waiting for something else after that. But I think if Auburn, I mean, yes, there will be some indigestion among Auburn fans tomorrow if Auburn is slow out of the gate against an FCS team. It's not the end of the world, but you'd like to see Auburn sort of, you know, at the very least avoid having to deal with maybe it was strategic, the reason Auburn had to.
No, I don't think that's what Hugh Freeze has in mind for tomorrow. Now, on the other hand, if Auburn wins like Arkansas did, it doesn't necessarily mean that every problem is solved. Yeah. I mean, it's great to do that, but I don't know, Don. Give me your thoughts on this. Is it at times do you want to not be completely? You don't want to be as close to perfect as possible. Maybe do you want to have some things that you can say, all right. You weren't perfect. You need to adjust some. I mean, because we've been talking about how crisp and sharp you want to be, but if you go out and play one of those near perfect ball games, you don't want the guys thinking, okay, we're good.
Right. You always want something to coach off of. So, as a coach, you can find it. you may have to really look and search, but yeah, I don't know if the 70-0. I mean, that's great, but I don't know what you learned from that other than, you know, you played a really weak opponent.
Yeah, Arkansas Pine Bluff
Auburn beat Samford pretty handily last year, didn't they, in the opener? It didn't suggest that it was going to be smooth sailing all season long based on what else we saw that year. Like, I think at the very least, Arkansas avoids the pitfall of a lackluster performance against an FCS opponent, but it probably that alone shouldn't influence how you think Arkansas will fare against Oklahoma State or against Auburn or against Texas A&M, some of the other games they've got coming up on their schedule very soon. Bit of a slow start for Gus against New Hampshire last night, but then, you know, I think even so, they force a turnover pop a big run play or two, and then you look over and it's 22-0, and then UCF wins 57-3. I think is the final score there.
Yeah, you can get over a slow start if you win 57-3.
Yeah.
So I mean, and as we said, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I'm wondering how high scoring games are going to be. We talked a little bit about the rules changes, and one of those is the clock's going to be running when the ball goes out of bounds until the last 2 minutes of each half, and you've got 2 minute warnings for the first time in college football. So
yeah, that was interesting last week in the Florida State game.
That game looked, I mean, it looked like they were really struggling.
Yeah.
Florida State especially looked like they were struggling to get their plays in.
Yeah, out of sync or something. I don't know what was going on. And even with the headset, you think, come on, man. I mean.
Well, you know, I'm sure it's got to take a little bit of adjustment. I mean, when you've got something that you haven't had before and you're trying to do it, and Hugh Freeze was talking about this, he doesn't want to continue talking if he feels like, okay, we've got the play in there,
right.
Even though he might be tempted to go, oh, I see something here and there while Peyton's trying to do something.
Right.
You know, sometimes it could be too much information.
Yeah, perhaps. I also noticed the quarterback for Georgia Tech looked like he was having trouble with the crowd. Did you notice every time he covered his ear holes? Mm-hmm. So that's another thing that you got to worry about.
Yeah. Whether or not some of these SEC stadiums will be too loud for the on-field.
Yeah, because you haven't been able to test that.
Right.
The kind of noise you're going to get.
Full house. You know.
With 80,000 plus.
I mean, they're using equipment that the NFL utilizes, and some of those NFL stadiums can get very loud. Maybe it's not quite going to – yeah, I mean, I'll be curious to see when – you know, how it sounds for Notre Dame tomorrow, because I imagine Kyle Field will be pretty loud. I imagine Miami's quarterbacks will be dealing with some noise in Gainesville tomorrow in the Swamp. So, yeah, that'll be an interesting first test in some big games of that equipment.
Now, the Sunday night game, is that in Vegas?
That's in the Raider Stadium in Vegas,
interesting.
They're still playing a couple of the neutral site games because Georgia Clemson's in Atlanta at the Falcon Stadium.
Right.
Next week's Tennessee NC State game is at the Carolina Panthers Stadium in Charlotte, and they're playing the game in Vegas as well. The game Sunday night is
got a full weekend. Some
sort of corporate sponsor is on the Vegas game.
And then the Monday night is Florida State BC Monday night.
Florida State BC is Monday night. Yeah.
Yeah. So Florida State's got Boston College coming off that loss to Georgia Tech.
That's going to be interesting. They got to be a little worried.
The game's in the Doke. At least Florida State doesn't have to go play a road game the week after.
I would have really done everything I could to assure that I didn't play another conference game after we were in Ireland.
Do you have to opt in, Coach, take us behind the curtain here. Mm-hmm. Would you have to opt in for a situation like that if the conference said we want you to start with start the season with two league games, one of them in Ireland? Like, is that something that the team would have any say on, or is that like
– I don't think
– like
I
the school would have a little say.
I think your athletic director and your president would down the road ahead of that.
My AD would say, not the same. We're not going to be playing a conference game that second weekend.
At least they're not playing a conference road game, but Florida State is indeed playing. I mean, they're opening the season with two ACC games.
I don't know how long ahead the schedules are set, like an Ireland game. I don't know how –
yeah,
not
but tell me
ahead.
That doesn't tell me that's not going to mess up your preparation.
And you know they stayed
Boston
an
College.
Extra day. If you remember on the broadcast, they were going to stay over to go sightseeing and stuff after getting beat.
Well, I guess they probably. I'm sure they had that schedule before.
They knew they were losing. On the broadcast.
So they were expecting to win and enjoy it by sightseeing. In the meantime, now Mike Norvell and his staff are going.
Can you imagine?
We got to be putting a game plan while these get together and trying to get ready for Boston
I would not
College.
Have wanted to have been an assistant on that staff.
Yeah, coach, take let's go back to like the day after the USC game in LA. You want to go sightseeing with the team around Los Angeles today?
No, I wanted to get out of there as fast as I could. We got home like at 6 a.m.
That's an attitude I've picked that up
on a
Tuesday.
Yeah.
On a Tuesday and we had a Saturday game.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Was it Georgia Tech?
No, that was a year later. Yeah, that was
that was after
USC here. The extra day thing that had to be.
You remember we played on a Monday night, Labor Day, right? Monday night out there. So we played a night game. We got home at about 6 a.m. You know, had to get ready. Plus losing the way we did, we should have won that one. But yeah, that I can't imagine them staying over and and the kids too wanting to go. You know, they thought they were going to win that game.
Sure,
there's no doubt.
Sure, that every and the well, way most they everybody lost, thought they did.
They got physically kicked.
They did. They got pushed around.
I was shocked. Yeah. They ran that ball up their butts.
Yeah, I can't imagine the kids are, you know, excitedly looking at and you know the, Loch Ness or whatever.
All the wives went too because I have a friend on the Georgia tech staff, so they're happy. She's texting, you know, before the game, after the game, and I'm thinking, man, that is so miserable. The head coach is going to be a bear. Everybody's going to be mad. Now we got to go see the cathedral after getting kicked.
Loch Ness is Scotland, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, well, they were still, you know, they were nearby.
Blarney Stone?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. You'll see Belfast or something.
Yeah.
Go check out the bar where
they definitely had some Guinness, I'm sure.
Go see where U2 played their first gig or something, but I can't imagine the kids were super fired up for that the day after losing. Having traveled with Troy a little bit, the thought of booking in advance that we're going to stay in town and sightsee, is not something I can imagine.
Well, immediately the kids think, oh, man, we're going to have a good time after we win.
No, that's you know, like stuff like that. Stuff like that is handled on the
beat.
That's something you handle on the travel day. Like
long travel after a loss sucks. Oh. I mean, I don't care where you know where you're coming from. You just want to be back. You don't want to you want that over.
Yeah,
with.
You want to get out of there. You want to get away from the head coach as fast as you can.
It's pretty tough to do when you're overseas.
And then the next morning you get on that plane and he's in the very first seat.
Yeah.
And you have to walk by him.
And you two are going through customs together.
Oh, that's awful. And you don't say a word.
No.
And then some young coach will say something stupid and just it's the end of it.
Oh, man, we're just underway here in hour number two of the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, and Don, and Drew at the controls. Hour number two of the drive brought to you, as usual, by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. We'd love for you to join in. You can call us on the drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Go to the podcast center at ESPNAU.com, or just type the Drive with Bill Cameron into your favorite podcast provider. All of that presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Come on in and join us here in hour number two. Give us your thoughts on anything going on in the world of sports here on the Friday Drive.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7.
Online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon, and let's get right back to the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, and Lynn is up next. Hey, Lynn.
Hey, this is directed at Bill. Are you retiring?
From the university, I retired in February.
Oh.
They haven't told me that I'm retiring from radio yet, so.
I thought you were retiring from the show, you know.
Not to my knowledge. Yet, yeah.
Yeah, that would be breaking news. A chance to check out Voice of the Beehive?
No, I have not.
Yeah, I know this is a sports show, obviously, but I thought maybe you have. They, you know, I was a little late to the party, you know, hearing about them. But I remember being at my guardian's house holding down the fort at the time, and one of the videos that came on was their Monsters and Angels. And I found out later that they were working in England at the time. And I know it's strange.
We'll check them out for sure, Len. Appreciate the phone call. Good stuff. Like that's a cool recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Give us your thoughts on what you're expecting tomorrow, what you're hoping, and what you think you're going to see tomorrow, or any of the ball games that we've been talking about.
What are you thinking? The plan. I want to include Coach on this as well. Like the plan to utilize a starting quarterback and a backup quarterback in a game like this, recognizing the need for both of them to get reps. Peyton has new teammates. Hank has not played very many snaps at all.
My perfect scenario is that you have multiple scoring drives in the first half with very efficient play from your quarterback. Mm-hmm. Send him back out for the first possession of the second half. You get a score there, and then you go to your number two.
Right. And then it's Hank's show the rest
yes.
of the game.
Yes. If he gets enough of an opportunity, if he's in early enough in the third and goes middle of the fourth, then you can go to your third guy.
Right. I mean, and again, after that, I mean, it's splitting hairs and things. I did look at the snap counts of the true freshmen from last year,
mm-hmm.
and before the bowl game, I think Hank only played about 10 snaps in the regular season last year. And I mean,
well, he wasn't the number two.
He wasn't even the number two last year. So I mean,
Was he the number three last year?
No.
No, he wasn't. He was the number four.
Yeah, he was the number four guy last year.
So I don't expect your number four to be able to get many snaps.
Right. So I think this would be an argument for keeping him in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and again, you could argue, you know, if an extra drive for somebody else isn't going to harm anything either if you want to go to your number three or your true freshman.
I'd like to be able to see him for at least a full quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You know something else that I found interesting on that drive chart thing. So Tyler Johnson, the reason I looked at it was because guy who might start at left tackle tomorrow night played about 40 snaps last year for Auburn in his lone mm-hmm. season. He took the red shirt. I think getting him as many reps as possible tomorrow night is probably a valuable thing considering how little he's played. Braden Joyner did not take a snap last year.
No, I didn't think he did.
So a guy who could be, he was not
on the depth chart right. last year. He was scout team solely.
And that's a guy who could be your starting left guard if Dylan Wade wins the job at left tackle. Getting him as many reps as possible is probably a valuable thing on the off chance mm-hmm. that you need him. He's at least your number three guard. Tate Johnson is more experienced as a reserve too. But it sounds like they really like Braden. It's just a matter of getting him the seasoning that in-game reps provide. So I would think that those are a couple of guys where, yeah, I mean, it regardless of the score, getting Tyler Johnson as many reps as possible, getting Braden Joyner as many reps as possible, getting your backup quarterback Hank Brown as many reps as possible, probably valuable experience for those guys.
I think you want a certain number of snaps from Tyler. Yeah, I think you want a certain number of snaps, if you can, from Percy Lewis. See how he responds out there in this. And then you want Dylan Wade. You probably want to see him at both guard and tackle.
And you want to see Dylan at tackle so you can evaluate the guards right. in case Dylan wins the job or mm-hmm. is the default option there at left tackle. You want to see what the other guards look like, because I wonder if they'd be reluctant to make Dylan the permanent tackle if they didn't feel good about who would be coming in at guard alongside him, or if they'd. But again, you don't want to solve one problem by creating another one. But they also want their best tackle to play. Like they want their best tackle to be playing tackle.
You absolutely want your best left tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a critical position.
I think they feel like they'll find someone of the candidates to be serviceable at guard if they have to play Dylan at tackle. They are maybe a little bit more suspicious about what they could have at tackle if they keep Dylan at guard.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Coach – well, I know for a fact. I'd be shocked if they haven't. They've talked about all this. Mm-hmm. You know, they know who they're playing. You know, realistically, we should dominate. Like Bill said, I would play everybody that we were supposed to play the first half, and then I know each position coach is probably, okay, with the D-line, we want so-and-so to get this many reps. After we get a lead, we want this young guy to play. And they've kind of mapped this out, and I remember we'd sit around – a lot of times on a Saturday morning, we'd have a staff meeting up in the head coach's suite, because usually on the road, or he had a suite and a big table. We'd sit around. He'd say, "Okay, Don, who you want to get? You know, who's your first backup? Who's your first sub? You know, what happens if this guy goes down? If we get a big lead, are you going to be able to go to your third guy?" And things like that. So they pretty much know. But I'm sure they – I would imagine the first half you're not going to see a lot of wholesale substitutions
I think defensively you're going to see a lot of guys
up front especially. Yeah. And I look for them to really get after it on defense. I'm excited to watch that because I've heard nothing but great things about the way they get after it and the way he coaches. Very aggressive.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. I think a lot of Auburn fans are going to be really excited and are excited to see that style of defense. 334-321-1390. Love to hear from you. Your thoughts. You see any upsets this weekend? You know, Don, we've been talking about it, and it sure seems like an awful lot of people like Florida as about a 3 or 4 point underdog against Miami.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting game. It is in Gainesville. It is in the Swamp. That's going to be. Can you imagine the pressure on those two head coaches?
Yeah, both of them. No question. I mean, because Mario Cristobal came in with the expectations that Miami was going to be an immediate
turnaround
contender for the ACC. And I mean, there were people, Dan, that were picking Miami year before last to be right there
and
at
the top
of the ACC.
I've seen folks picking them in the playoff this year, too.
And I mean, they're 12-13 in his 2 years.
And they have tons of money.
That's one thing, they're
spending it, but they're not seeing the results that they want.
Yeah, it's not like some schools you wonder, well, do they have the NIL? Well, Miami is broadcast. They bragged about
how
money.
Much they had. But, yeah, that game is going to be very interesting. And the guy that loses that game is – he may not be able to recover.
I wonder. I mean, the loser there may not be the coach by the end of the season.
It would be more damaging, though – because I don't know what kind of appetite there is at Miami to move on from Cristobal, and I don't know if there's this belief that there's someone else that, A, Miami could get, and, B, would do a better job than Mario Cristobal.
You can't have a bigger splash hire than Mario Cristobal was.
I think
Cristobal, a homegrown boy.
I think Cristobal is similar to Hugh Freeze in that part of the reason that he might even get more rope than his predecessors, because I don't know if anybody has an idea about what to do if it fails. Mm-hmm. Like if the Hugh Freeze experiment is a resounding failure 2 years from now, I don't know if there's going to be people saying, well, here's what you got to, like, I mean, maybe, but it's,
there'll
but
be
it's,
people saying
there'll that. Be people saying that, but you'll have gone a long time from your championship relevance to be talking.
Well,
that's
the case. If Auburn's like staring down a fifth straight losing season or something, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think that's where you are with Cristobal. Like, that's where Miami is with Cristobal. And
how long has he been there?
2 years.
Yeah.
2 years. He's 12-13.
This is coming up. This is year three.
And that debacle at Georgia Tech last year, still eating him.
Now, on the other hand, I think there are a lot of people with ideas about what Florida should do instead of Billy Napier. I think that's a different situation where it's not as though Napier fails.
Billy Napier was not like the hot name that everybody in the country was going after, who was at looking like he was starting a powerhouse at Oregon, like Cristobal was, although he had a great job, doing a great job there at Louisville. I mean, Florida still feels like they can bring in a bigger name.
Yeah, and I still wonder if there's this belief at Florida that you have to do it with someone on the cutting edge offensively. Because you did that with Spurrier and you did that with Urban, and Dan Mullen's best teams were sort of representing that in football. We're seeing more teams sort of get away from it's all about the play caller. It's more all about collecting top five recruiting classes, top 10 recruiting classes, and figuring out who's going to be capable of doing that.
I wonder if the Gator boosters really believe that. I mean, if they go after Lane, will his daughter keep him from moving to Gainesville?
Yeah, will she have graduated from Ole Miss by then?
So.
You know where he can, I don't know. I mean, that would be one of the names, I think, on the.
I'm anxious to see Ole Miss this year.
Expectations are there now for Ole Miss.
That's all they're there. I got a lot of buddies still over there, and they are cocky and they think they're going to win it all.
This is the I can never recall Ole Miss having the kind of expectations they do right now.
Right.
I get why you said Kiffin there for Florida, and
just
I think that's –
because of what you were talking about with the way Florida fans have felt.
Along those lines, let me throw two scenarios out there. If Missouri is excellent this year, will teams look at Eli as a guy that could come in and rescue their program if it hasn't been succeeding?
If Missouri is excellent, I would say –
if Missouri's excellent this year,
I'd
be curious to see what Eli Drinkwitz at Florida would look like if Missouri is excellent this year.
It's funny. I don't know. Maybe it's just Missouri. It just feels like that's such a different –
But he's place. I would say he's more Spurrier-y
really
than
is.
Lane Kiffin is.
He really like, is, but a lot of people seem to look at him as just a little odd.
Well, go 11-1. Go, hey.
I mean, it's I love Eli.
Go, well, and Leach was odd too.
Yeah.
Maybe he's our modern day, the closest thing to our modern day Leach. But I would love to see, not that he can't win it. I mean, look, there are people who think Missouri could go to the SEC championship game. 7-1 with a schedule where
you know what though, it would be easier to do it in Gainesville.
It would be easier to do it in Gainesville, and I think it, no. So I wonder about that. And the other name I would throw out there, Florida, maybe some other places too. The team that people seem to be picking from the group of five to make the college football playoff. This would be tougher at Florida if you're replacing Napier because he just came from the group of five. But the team that people have been picking the most is Liberty. And Jamie Chadwell was excellent at Coastal Carolina. And if he's got, I mean, weren't they undefeated last year in the regular season? Didn't Liberty? I mean, Liberty would have been.
Yeah.
I believe Liberty would have been if you use the current playoff system and apply it to last season. I believe Liberty would have been the group of five team in the college football playoff last year. Granted, that was a team largely left behind by Hugh Freeze that Jamie Chadwell inherited. But I think Jamie Chadwell's, like, if you're talking about a guy on the cutting edge offensively and a guy, I mean, Coastal Carolina was so good in those Jamie Chadwell seasons. I wonder if a larger conference team would look at him as an answer potentially.
That's interesting to consider. I mean, a lot of things.
Eli and Lane probably because it's the SEC would be.
Because if you can win at those places in the SEC, I would think you'd be really attractive at Florida.
And maybe for that matter at Miami.
But I mean,
if things aren't working out, if
Billy gets things turned around, there are quite a few people that think Florida has a chance to make a pretty big step this year.
I mean, you beat Miami and you probably need to be not need to a win over A&M in a couple of weeks.
Right.
That game's in Gainesville.
Yeah, I mean, if Florida comes back and has an 8-win season, then that'll,
huge. Yeah.
That'll ease,
with this schedule,
ease the pain of a lot of the Bull Tough Gators.
Schedule. Yeah,
yeah, no kidding. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Plenty of time for you to join us. Give us your thoughts. 334-321-1390. Here on the Friday Drive.
Be a part of the drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 20 minutes or so here on this Friday afternoon. Now, a reminder of everything we have going on here on as far as game day is concerned tomorrow. On the Auburn Network over on Wings 94.3. It is game day on Wings. Will be on every game day 5 hours prior to kickoff because the Auburn Network comes on 3 hours prior to kickoff. So they'll be on at 3:30. The Auburn Network pregame starts at 3:30. 1:30 tomorrow, it will be game day on Wings with T-Bone and Jack tomorrow, and it's a two-hour show now. They've expanded it to a two-hour show, so that's something to keep in mind for every ball game. Just subtract 5 hours, and that's when the coverage will start on Wings 94.3. As we said, that means early mornings for the
11 o'clock
for the 11 o'clock game.
That's biscuits.
6 o'clock will be there. Will be the game day on Wings, but don't have to worry about that for a few weeks. But tomorrow it'll be 1:30. Now tonight, over on Wings 94.3, it's Auburn and Vestavia Hills and high school football from the Duck, 6:30 airtime with Jacob and Jack. Rob, I don't believe is
Rob's off tonight.
Rob is off.
Jacob and Jack will do a great job.
And Jack tonight for that. Meanwhile, Christian's got Lee Scott football tonight as Lee Scott traveling to Lochapoca, and that will be on AU 100. Both those pregames will start at 6:30. So we got tons of football, and we'd love to hear from you, anything on your mind sports-wise. If you want to talk a little bit about what you expect or what you think you're going to see tomorrow from Auburn or any of the ball games, 334-321-1390. And let's get to the phone. And who do we have up next?
Kerry.
Carrie is up next. Hey, Carrie.
Hello, how are you?
Doing fine.
So, tomorrow, what do I want to see? I would like to see Auburn win the line of scrimmage, really actually dominate the line of scrimmage, be very physical. On the offensive side, see the O-line opening up huge holes, Mack truck-size holes, blowing the defensive line off the line of scrimmage, and even seeing some pancake blocks. And so dominate the offense. On the defense, see the defensive line bull rushing. See the defensive line in the backfield all night long. And see the defensive ends sacking the quarterback or tackling the running back behind the line. We've talked about all the skill players and all the things that they can do. But to dominate in the SEC, you've got to dominate the offensive line. That's where I'd like to see that start tomorrow.
Oh, there's no question. It all starts up front, and it would, quite frankly, be a disappointment if Auburn does not dominate an Alabama A&M team on the line of scrimmage.
Absolutely. But it sets the stage for the entire season.
I agree.
And like you said, when the starters or the first guys that they run out begin to do that, then bring in the next crew and the next crew and see them all take that lead of those leaders on the line and just start it in the right direction.
Sounds good to me. You know what I want tomorrow, and I usually have a pretty good idea by this time who's wearing what number. I want tomorrow to be one of those days where I'm going, who's that?
Yeah.
Because that means that they're playing everybody that's dressed out.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. I believe Coach Battle Lewis is with us. Hey, Lewis.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Doing fine.
Doing good. I'm doing good myself. So, of course, we all waiting tomorrow, and I'm talking to all my guys, of course. We want to see something just a little different tomorrow. We don't want to see what Colorado done last night. That team was no slouch that they was playing. But Alabama A&M got athletes too. So, y'all, we got to take everything serious. But we would like to see Auburn tomorrow put up some points and use our weapon and see the defense stay strong. And then, yeah, you can put the younger guys out there, you know, later on. And, you know, we let them play. But that first, second quarter, it needs to be pretty much solved by then, going into halftime, so we can let these younger kids play. That's what, when I was there with Terry Bowden, I mean, that's how I got my playing time. Them guys took care of business, so me and Gauthier and everybody else can get in there and do what we do. But I would like to see that tomorrow. I would. And I think that we will, but I'm standing back this year, just looking.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of folks that just, they want to see, all right, we've heard, everything sounds good. And now you want to see that proof.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we know what it's going to be now, here in about another 2 years. We know, everybody knows what it's going to be, the way he recruits. We're going to witness this. We're going to get back to them days. But this year, when I talk to my guys, like, we want 8 wins. We want 9 wins. But if quarterback play is good, we're going to be hard to beat.
I agree with you.
Yep.
We're going to be hard to beat. But that's all I had to say. Just one time in, and I'll be there tomorrow. No rudeness on, as always. But I'm looking forward to a great year this year.
I hear you. Good hearing from you, Lewis.
Good stuff, Lewis.
Yes, sir.
334-321-1390. We'll go ahead and get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for a few more phone calls. Come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
War Eagle, this is call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final segment here on this Friday afternoon. A full slate tomorrow. Of course, not everybody, because you've already had a couple of SEC teams played last night, and we've got LSU that's going to be playing on Sunday. And then, as you mentioned, Don, Oklahoma is playing tonight. They will their first game as an SEC team will be against Temple.
Oklahoma's got their premier night. Don was talking about Stanford TCU
later
earlier. Boy, does it feel like a decade since TCU was in the national championship game, right? Like, I mean, that was that was a
just kind of fell off the map.
You know what? But
how
I think,
good was Stanford just 4 or 5 years
ago? Right.
Yeah, they
were
really good.
That's right. Coach Shaw had a great team there. I mean, really, and I mean,
had a great running back.
Well, McCaffrey was there. And Andrew Luck
sure helped.
Andrew Luck a decade ago.
Always had great tight ends.
I mean, it's no, you're right. Stanford had some.
Stanford was like, you know, there was like that was the talk of, you know, Vandy could aspire to be Stanford.
Right.
Yeah. That.
Well, that
not now.
Well, they hired the D coordinator, didn't they?
Stanford had other periods where they played good football, but Harbaugh really had them.
Yeah,
like that was to me the maybe the most. I mean, having even though he's won a national championship in Michigan, the way he had Stanford looking like one of the best teams
in
college
football
year in and year out. I mean, they dismantled Pete Carroll's USC team a couple of times.
They were very physical.
Yeah, just it's like how does this happen?
Run the ball.
And I think that's. We'll see if that can. I think it's the Sacramento State coach, longtime Sacramento State coach, is now the guy at Stanford. We'll see if he can make it work. But it's a tough
job.
That's a tough Power Four. Like that's a tough major conference job. And it didn't get any easier joining the ACC.
Well, you know, I was thinking too. You know, Cal's coming here next week, right? That won't be the only trip they make.
No,
oh, no. I mean, and I bet they thought when they scheduled Auburn, well, we're not be going back there that much.
They'll be heading cross country. You know,
that's unbelievable.
Quite often,
games, I can't believe it. Did you guys see the head coach from Georgia Tech after the game? The interview?
No, I didn't see it.
And the young lady said, "Coach is an old line man. What do you think?" And he said, "Run the ball."
tell you what, Cal goes to Auburn on the 7th. They go to Tallahassee 2 weeks later, play at Florida State. 2 weeks after
it's a conference game,
three weeks after that, they play a conference game at Pitt. They play a conference game in November at Wake Forest, and their final game of the season is at SMU.
That's crazy.
So they're going
three time zones.
Yeah, five times this year. They're going to get on a plane and go to Texas or further east.
Yeah.
From Berkeley, California.
Much further
plus
east.
Auburn.
Three of four of them.
Five. Yeah, including Auburn. Five games east.
They only
go
halfway one
somebody,
time.
You know, a lot of times those guys that set the travel up put their cards on there, you know, to get the travel miles.
The mileage.
I don't know if that's legal, but I know some guys that used to do that.
I know a couple. I know a director of basketball operations who can. I'll tell you this story. I know a director of basketball operations that orders team lunches. When we go to places like Firehouse and Subway,
right. On his,
when they would go to places like this, Firehouse and Subway, they'll order it on theirs and get reimbursed by the school. And this
and
person,
5% cash.
This person could eat. Yeah. This person could eat for free at Firehouse for the like with the number of bonus points they've collected. Yeah. Yeah. This person could eat for free.
We're
at
just
thinking
the travel miles, air miles.
Yeah, the frequent flyer miles too.
And if they stay like at a Hilton or something, they do that. I've seen
HG Rewards. I do know some of those things.
I think Ferg was saying that he didn't pay for half of the hotel rooms that he used this past season because he's built up, you know, just being brand loyal to a hotel, he's built up a lot of rewards points, and he was able to cash them in for a big chunk of this past season.
Yeah.
I imagine for someone in an administrative role, you know, traveling secretary or something
I mean, the thing is I don't understand what the problem it would be really for the school, because the school's just paying. They're paying what it costs.
No, it's not. No, it's not an issue.
You're the one that's booking those things.
Yeah, you're doing the work.
So you get a perk for it.
Yeah,
so what?
It's convenient. No, it's a matter of convenience. I mean,
you do it then.
And the school is buying the fire. I mean, the sandwiches in question are being purchased. Yeah. So it's not like anybody.
There's no scam at all. If someone's offering benefits, somebody might as well get
them. If it's a scam, it's a royal scam, Bill.
There you go. I was just going to say, looking at games around, you know, we talked about some, and most of the other ones are games very similar to, you know, to the Auburn-Alabama A&M or that Arkansas-Arkansas Pine Bluff. Tennessee's got Chattanooga, the scrappy Mocky
Top
of Chattanooga. I mean, Texas has Colorado. That, Texas there, got Colorado State.
It was a couple years ago when Tennessee started 0-2 and had had Tennessee Chattanooga coming to town, and the Chattanooga people were all, "We're going to turn it into Mocky Top. Watch out!"
Yeah.
And they were beaten soundly that day.
Yeah, that's a school. Auburn. You know, for years Chattanooga was a team that Auburn would open the season against, and a couple of times it was not it wasn't pretty.
Was Chattanooga the one that got the old jerseys? There was a school. Is it UT Martin?
Yeah, well,
remember UT Martin that got a lot of the old Russell Athletic jerseys because they had the same
blue jerseys,
same
color scheme, and they were still a Russell school.
Yeah, they looked just like Auburn.
That's why.
We played
them recently in basketball, and I can report they still look still looks just like Auburn.
Yeah.
If
Troy's got a big game, I'm sorry, Bill.
No, go ahead.
We got Nevada. Coming.
Nevada.
Yes, they do.
Nevada team that just played a
barely
close game.
Lost.
Just played a close game to open the season.
Right. SMU, and now, I think.
Do you like
– should have beaten them.
Let me ask you this. Does a team
like they had them early.
Does a team that played in week zero have an advantage over a team playing their opener tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so. I do. Now, the only thing is they played at home, I believe, so they do have to travel cross country. And I think they came in Thursday, someone said.
But they've got a better idea. They know what
they
have.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They've ironed out some first-game jitters.
Because that's one of the things. Hugh Freeze said the other day, and I've had a couple of people say, oh, that's ridiculous.
No.
When he said, look, people think I know what we have. He goes, I think I know what we have, but I don't know. And I won't know until we get out there. And they probably won't know for sure after tomorrow.
We'll know a lot more next week.
Right.
When he play a better opponent. But, yeah, as a coach, you are a nervous wreck. You have no clue. You never know what's going to happen. Never. You don't want a lightning delay. Anything can just throw you off. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think they even canceled a couple of games last night somewhere, a smaller college.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, that Carolina.
It was delayed.
It was a good bit delayed.
Yeah.
Last night, Texas, Colorado State. If Texas doesn't destroy Colorado State,
there'll be
some people going, "Hey, what's the matter there?"
Texas is going to Ann Arbor next week. That's the big game week
too.
Right.
That's where Texas could be thinking. Save something for Michigan next week.
Is that a scary place to be in when you have a big game week too?
You're trying to
get through a week one opponent.
You know, kids are kids. They look at our phones. They know who they're playing next week. Believe me.
Yeah.
Yep. The other games, I mean, we talked about Miami and Florida. South Carolina hosting Old Dominion. Mississippi State is hosting Eastern Kentucky. Alabama's got Western Kentucky with T.J. Finley at quarterback.
Wait. I had no clue he was there.
Oh, yeah. T.J. had a really good year last year at Texas State. Ole Miss has Furman. Kentucky has Southern Miss. Southern Miss, it's been a shame. They've
gone down.
They were a team that you used to just
you didn't really want to play
them.
No,
years ago. And then the other games we've talked about, of course, Auburn, Alabama, A&M, LSU, Southern Cal on Sunday, Notre Dame, A&M. So fun weekend.
Good weekend.
Don, thanks. We look forward to you being with us each Friday.
Thank you very
much.
All
right, Dan, you want to quickly Don? What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts for tomorrow? What give us a ballpark score?
I would say 55-16.
Okay. All right, I went 52-9. I think.
I think I went 55-7. I'm right there in the ballpark. Yeah. 35-49. Right, Bill.
Yeah, our sweet spot.
We'll
find out how close we are. Brian Matthews joins us on Monday. Don't forget, Game Day on Wings gets started tomorrow at 1:30. High school football tonight, 6:30 on Wings and on AU100. That's going to do it for this week. Have a great weekend, everybody. We're back with you on Labor Day.
I'm Wes Allen.